If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
You are listening live to the program, brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson. The 2022 models are arriving daily, so what are you waiting for? Get on over to Worth Harley-Davidson today, I-29 just south of the airport, or go online and check them out at WorthHarley-Davidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
How are you doing?
And now, wondering which college offers a scholarship first, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Lion King.
It was.
Like when they hold up, I can't remember the Simba. Hold Simba up for everyone. You're saying Patrick Mahomes.
The third.
Is
bronze.
Yeah, is Simba.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
He already has...
He's arrived.
He already has six NIL deals.
Yeah. By the way. Yeah, so, very good.
Gerber.
Very good. Yeah, I like that. Very, very well done.
I think he needs to play hockey, personally, because Patrick Mahomes the first played baseball. The second's playing football. So one of the... Either
tennis.
Basketball or hockey, one of the other majors.
What about
major
tennis majors. Or golf? How about cricket? What if
soccer.
He goes in and
out? Let's do cricket.
A little cricket.
You know
volleyball,
what? I changed
maybe?
My vote to cricket.
Volleyball? Some beach volleyball? He's the next Karch Karai. Huh?
There you go.
There you go. Who dug deep? Who dug deep
you
into
did.
Their Olympic
you
knowledge?
Did.
That's this guy. This guy. Two thumbs and a hoodie. Thank you for joining us here in the program today. Much to get to. We will keep an eye on the World Cup as the United States has scored. They struck for a goal. I'm sure the fellas told you. We were watching the match. U.S. leading 1-0 on the pitch. In their boots with their kit on.
Yeah. Might as well get them all in there.
Pulisic, not fit there for a while.
No, he was not fit.
Took a knee or boot to the groinment area.
Yeah. What's British slang for stones?
You could the announcer famously called the net the onion bag. You could also use that term for where Pulisic got hurt.
Yeah, that's a possibility as well.
Bollocks. He took one of the bollocks.
Okay, is that right? Is that the term?
Mm-hmm.
Would you Google it?
I think it's bollocks. I
don't think that's it.
I always thought bollocks was rear end.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's what I thought too. Did you Google it?
I did.
What does it say?
The testicles.
Oh, well done.
Mark that.
Yeah, got it.
I guess it's a way of when someone says something, someone just says they disagree. Oh, bollocks.
I mean, it equally means BS, like we say BS here, but they mean it for that. I didn't realize that was the part of the body it was referring to.
We go to Adam Dravetta, British insider, here to tell us what bollocks means.
Yarbles.
Grandson of a British World War II veteran, Adam Dravetta.
Okay. All right, so there you go. We got to the bottom of that. Anyway, the U.S. wins. England and Wales, no score, but it doesn't really matter for the U.S. Win and you're in, draw or lose, and you go home. Very dramatic goal. The U.S. also had a goal disallowed on an offsides call that I think was correct. I called offsides when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was offsides. Would have loved it. It was a brilliant goal going to the far
Very
post.
Much, yes.
But the U.S. has had many more chances. Iran certainly parking the bus early, now forced to come out and play. So we'll see. Be very important for the U.S. to get that second goal. The second goal they could not get for, 75 minutes? 70 minutes against Wales. Didn't they score with about 10 in or 15 in? And then it was 80 that they gave it up.
Mm-hmm.
So 70, 65, 70 minutes. They could not get that second goal. We'll see if the U.S. can do that this time. Wales and England already into the second half. They didn't have a five-minute delay for the bullocks of Christian Pulisic that this match had.
And that was more than just your standard, oh, caught one.
Yeah.
Let me lay here for a second.
Did that get, oh, yeah, it did. No, there was no, he was immediately.
Yes.
Immediately in pain. So, but we'll keep you up to date on that as they are now back out on the pitch. I enjoyed the.
I do, too.
I like all of it. Kit.
Boot. I love slang. Slang
it's vernacular.
Or terminology.
Vernacular.
Yes. Stuff that is.
Vernacular, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, terms that are specific to one area or one sport. Hockey, a one-timer was one of my...
Sweater?
Yeah. But I just like, of all the hockey stuff, one that's just the easiest, the one-timer.
I've always liked it when talking about a goalie spitting out a lot of rubber, which means that he's right. he's blocking shots, but yeah. He's not suffocating him. There's a lot of rebounds coming out there.
Yeah.
I always spit
the hook if you're a pitcher. You know, load the bases, but spit the hook.
On the topic of soccer vernacular, is it a goalie or a goalkeeper?
I think they call it a keeper.
I think soccer calls
it a goalkeeper, and for short, they call it a keeper. Okay. I think goalie's probably American, but just my guess. Let's go to Soccer Insider. Nate Bucati. Nate? Nowhere to be found.
I can't see the control room from here. I'm like, there's no way Nate is here.
He just jumps up from behind Curtis's chair. Yeah.
All right, so we've got a lot of things going on. Patrick Mahomes, now father of two, has a son. U.S. 1-0 in the second half of the final pool play game. Win, and they advance to the knockout stage. Tim Grunhardt coming your way. Frank Bull coming your way. Shahan Jayaraja coming your way to talk a lot of college football. And news that there was a, you know, it was almost like Bigfoot when I followed it on Twitter. like Bigfoot was loose in Lawrence was like the way it appeared on Twitter. Like Bigfoot had just walked down Massachusetts Street.
Mm-hmm.
And because all of a sudden Twitter became ablaze, there apparently was either a Bigfoot or Curtis Siebold at Allen Fieldhouse.
I was in the fog last night.
It was you. It was not a doppelganger, somebody texted me. Somebody said, I think I just saw Curtis Siebold's doppelganger here at Allen Fieldhouse. I said, could be, or it could be him, because he's there.
He sent that to me and said, as well, I said, nah, he's better looking.
Yeah.
Yes, I was there to watch Kansas dismantle their 2022 NCAA tournament first round foe Texas Southern.
Ooh.
I'd forgotten they'd played in the tournament their first game, and someone reminded me that last night. But
I wonder when the game for this year came together. Oh, yeah, probably.
Maybe about then.
Right after that game.
Hey, why don't you guys come down after Thanksgiving, or
you
come up after Thanksgiving?
Need a game? You need a payday? How's 500K sound? You coming? Yeah, we'll be there. All right, we'll see you. Truth to the rumor that you're laying down your Missouri fandom, and you're picking up your fandom of the Jayhawks. This became an issue earlier this year.
Not a chance.
Where you were being painted as a KU homer
that's
by many.
Right.
Is this the completion of that? That you're now a Jayhawk fan?
Nope.
I mean, I think that's breaking news.
It's opportunity.
It's worthy of a peach check mark on Twitter, I think.
Opportunity.
I don't know.
to hang out with some good people in an amazing environment and watch a really good basketball team play.
And it had been a while since you've been there. You've been there before.
I think that was my fifth time there.
And reaction?
I remember specifically the first time I was there.
Totally overrated.
No. First time I was there.
Totally overrated. Is that what you thought?
No. Was Teron Liu's first game at Allen Fieldhouse his freshman year in 95 or early 96. Watch him. He put 24 up on the Hawks in a losing effort. But I remember the first three he hit. I went yes. And realized I'm the only person with my arms extended. Because it's one thing to not be a Kansas fan. It's another thing to even to be a Nebraska fan. There are nobody there.
They really travel. Nebraska hoops travels like it's no one's business. Come on, don't kid yourself. There was tens of fans.
I was there
for the Huskers.
I was there the afternoon that Kansas jumped out on Arizona by 20, and then Salim Stoudemire and Jason Gardner, somebody went bonkers in the second half and Arizona won, but they Kansas beat him in the Elite Eight. I was there for Collison and Heinrich's final day, and I was there. I covered one game 3 or 4 years ago on a Saturday, went out there and covered a game. But that's the fourth time I've been there as a – third time I've been there as a fan.
And?
It's amazing. I mean, if you can't appreciate, regardless of your allegiance, if you can't appreciate that place, then you don't appreciate sports. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I guess it's an amazing – it's not the most comfortable – building somebody walking down the steps, the little rickety, the little steps with no railing. I'm like, I think there was at least five opportunities. There were at least five times that I thought, boy, if I step one more inch, I'm going down. But
so you're saying they don't meet the modern ADA requirements?
No, but the seats were terrific. And the game wasn't great, but it wasn't going to be great.
No.
It's an amazing experience, that whole thing. I get it, man.
I mean, I do too.
I'm glad really cool. to hear you guys say it, particularly Curtis, because when I was a student, you could go to as many games as you wanted. Season ticket package was $150 when I was
what's
a student.
This like waiting outside crap?
And, well, you have to wait. It's a long story.
Like at Syracuse, we could go. We put $33,000 in for Georgetown, we had 12,000 undergrad, 16,000 with the overgrad. You could see why all of us could go.
You
buy a ticket, you're in.
You could get in, but you had to show up in time to get in.
It's just like a free pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, anyway,
first come, first serve on anyone who has that pass. Okay.
And so then they open the doors an hour and a half early for non-students, 2 hours for students. But the point is I always, every game through my 4 years at KU, I'd make it a point to take a moment and be like, holy crap, I'm in this building right now.
Yeah.
Because if you're a sports fan, it's Lambeau Field, it's Fenway, it's that sort of stuff.
And it's becoming Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, with Patrick Mahomes hanging banners in there, a few more, and, you know, where things are going.
It did make me think, though, you know, if I'm sure Creature Comfort-wise, they could use a new place.
Yeah.
But that's never going to happen because someone would have to decide to pull the Jayhawks out of Allen Fieldhouse, and that's just never going to be okay with
anyone.
What's
the first year of Allen Fieldhouse?
I've got 1955?
I've got people who think it was 1920, and it wasn't.
55, yeah.
There was Kansas history before they got to Allen Fieldhouse.
Right. I think it was 55.
I would imagine it'd be more of a renovation type of thing.
Yeah.
Where they basically deconstruct it and reconstruct it all around that court and add amenities and things someday. But maybe not. Maybe it'll just be what it is. But, it is. You know, if you're a sports fan, it's a bucket list thing. Not that you hadn't been there before. I know you had. But, it's fun to just
go
check out
seats that good, though.
Check out a game. No. But they're pretty good seats, I told you.
Our friend has good seats.
Yes, he has good seats. He has great seats. A lot to get to. Update here quick on the soccer. In the 52nd minute,
now,
USA 4-1 still 1-0.
Iran. I mean,
yeah, no.
We'll
let
crazy.
Out a hoot or a holler if somebody puts one in the back of the net. England, however, is making irrelevant. They needed to stay within four goals to advance. They're up 2-0 now, jumping all over Wales in the second half. It was 0-0 at the half, right? I think England's put in two, or was it 1-0 England? I thought it was 0-0. Anyway, England all over Wales now, 2-0. They're in the 56th minute. There, 53rd minute, U.S., 1-0.
Michael Sheen's amazing pregame speech was to no effect.
Yeah, it's an actor who
yes.
did an impromptu on it. Did we play it on the air, or is that just amongst us?
I don't know if we did or not.
We there's an actor. Somebody asked him. He was on a talk show, a British talk show. I was like, you know, he was Welsh, and he said, "What would you say?" And just off the cuff,
it's just
he went into this thundering, you know, motivational speech that had all of us wanting to run down the hall and grab
people
a soda.
I know in
I
tears
mean, we were ready to move
yes.
and act.
It's incredible.
I mean, it was impressive. It was impressive.
But it resulted in no goals. In that
no
match
goals.
To this point.
No goals.
In the 56th minute.
I can say this now since they're not playing the U.S. anymore. I appreciate Wales because the other three members of the United Kingdom all have some sort of cross on their flag, and Wales goes, nah, dragon.
We're going to do it our way. The heck with you.
No, we're Team Dragon because the dragon will definitely beat a cross.
Oh, yeah, because it's a dragon.
It's it's coming down to a fight.
Spitfire.
I still need somebody to help me out and give me some diagrams about how the whole Great Britain thing works. But, you know, nonetheless, we press on. We do want to talk some Chiefs football. One, we mentioned Patrick Mahomes, now baby number two on the way. And if you've had one, it is easier to care for number two. I can tell you the moment, at least my personal experience, having had two children, the first time you're home, you're the only one awake, and that baby's not happy, and ain't nobody coming to help, ain't no nurse's button. Here's a moment of reality check right there. Like, yeah, it's on me. This one's on me, because if I go, hey, honey, there ain't going to be no more me. She's tired and had enough. You got to make it happen, Tubby. Let's go.
I did my part already.
I've told that story where I got home, and I was like, how do I quiet this baby? And I'm like, I should have learned a lullaby or something. Hence, my daughter's first, who has blue eyes, first lullaby was Sweet Child of Mine. Because of She's Got Eyes, that line. I'm like, and that's skies. About the only song I know, the lyrics all the way through. So she got Sweet Child of Mine.
It's amazing how good that works, though, as a, how
it
well
works
that works.
Pretty
as a,
good.
Yes,
I was
it
stunned.
Does.
And she
the
went
lyrics
to,
are fantastic.
She
for
went
a
to sleep, so it worked. Second time, we got this.
I think it was when you went. Wah! She was like, "Oh wait, that's a bit much."
She was sound asleep, and then I started doing the serpentine
Where
dance.
Where do we go now?
Snaking wow. around, and it's like, she's like, what is this?
They have since released CDs of lullaby versions of various rock songs.
Yeah, you'd be shocked if you just sing it in the right manner, how many a song, you know.
That one certainly works.
It's like, she's only 17. Yeah, no, that one, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much.
Probably not.
You know, I digress. Anyway. Yeah,
brown sugar doesn't work.
Yeah. Mr. Brownstone, he's been knocking. He won't leave me alone. No, not so much. There's a lot of them, actually, you can grab
Guns
that don't
and Roses
work.
Lullabies on KTEL Records.
Welcome to the jungle. Yeah, there's actually a lot of them that don't work, is probably what we should say, but you'd be surprised at how many of them do, right? Yes. But anyway.
Second child
for Patrick Mahomes. First of all, congratulations to the whole Mahomes family. Not that they were sitting around waiting for our kudos, which, by the way, thanks to whoever said kudos.
Oh, yes. That was nice. Great callback.
I was listening, and I was writing down the topics. I'm like, first thing is going to be, number one, excellent use of the Romeo Crennel callback with the Cadoos. Two, let's talk about the special teams. But I forgot. So post, show, let me just say, nice job with the Cadoos. But certainly congrats to the Mahomes family.
PLM 3.
Okay.
Patrick LaVon Mahomes the 3rd.
Is that confirmed?
That was the Instagram post last night.
Okay. Is LaVon... I assume.
That's
I don't
his
know.
Middle name.
I don't know how the seconds and the thirds work. You have to have the same middle name. Is that right?
I am not sure about that either, but both he and his father have the same middle name as well.
Okay.
And why it's the second and not junior, I'm not entirely sure. Usually seconds and thirds are reserved for if you're named after an uncle or somebody.
Was that
or
right?
Or grandfather. If it skips generation.
I don't
usually
think so.
If you're a pope.
The way I've read, it's generally if it's
really
if it's your father, it's junior.
You consider
if you're
yourself
named after
a reader then.
A little bit.
Okay.
If you're named after your grandfather, it's the second or the third, is usually. But you can say whatever you want. It's your kid. You can call him the second if you want. You don't have to call it junior. I'm sorry, sir. You can't put that on the birth certificate. You have to put junior.
Okay. So the bottom line is maybe the biggest game of the regular season, at least the biggest game since Buffalo.
Certainly the game that Patrick Mahomes has circled the minute the schedule came out.
No offense, little guy. Timing kind of sucks. Like,
not
am I the
awesome.
Only one?
Not awesome.
Now, I'm hoping with the $500 million contract, perhaps if a nanny is needed to
right.
help get somebody to bed, that there's still a little left in the cookie
help.
Jar to, you know, have a little help. I'm sure there's family in town here early on maybe helping out. I don't know. I don't mean to pry, just saying. But are we breezing by that part of the equation?
We aren't. Some people might, but I think it's certainly notable.
It definitely crossed my mind, always with the caveat that I think all three of us would agree that we're happy for Patrick, but it is worth, because of our jobs, it's worth
right.
bringing up.
We analyze.
And to some degree, although it's not like the ideal matchup that you'd want, then again, it might be because it's the one game you think would hold as it. I mean, last week going into a Ram game where you're not really expecting much. This happens a week ago. Maybe you. Not that Patrick Mahomes' attention ever wanders. I'm saying if there's a scale between him at 100 and him at whatever zero is for him, attention-wise and focus-wise, you probably will be closer to 100 going into the Bengals game because of who it is. Then does that make sense? It might be the perfect week for this to have happened because it's the one week you think he's going to have the most possible energy he has directed toward the opponent.
Yeah, I think to me. Like the letdown. How does the letdown happen? I think there are times the letdown happens. Like, I talk about it. When you bring a pitcher up and they know a day in advance they're going to face the AAA guy, I know for a fact. I've been out on road trips where I've seen teams. Like, the entire team is in this bar. Like, everybody who's going to grab a bat tomorrow is here, and it's late. And it's like, well, yeah, but so-and-so's pitching. I'm like,
yeah, we're gonna grab a bat and then hit him.
And then Bobby Keppel happens, and you have the Bobby Keppel effect, right? Like, oh, my God, this guy who's kind of mediocre in AAA just smoked the Major League roster. There is that part of it. That's not really the NFL. For the most part, they got enough days to go out and tie one on during the week and struggle through practice that I think for the most part most guys are pretty focused. But I do think the dynamic of the letdown, what happens is the lack of adrenaline, the lack of emotion, right? Like, everybody knows, like, you know, you exercise in any way, shape, or form, and you have some, and you listen to music to do it. When that one tune comes on, it's why you have a workout, you know, track or whatever they mix. Yeah, it's why you do it because you're a little more. I can do another mile. You know,
All My Life comes on by Foo Fighters. All right, I'm cranking this one up.
Like, you know, that's there, and so I think there are times like, hey, it's the Rams. They got nothing cooking on offense. Like, I don't think they got that adrenaline shot against the Rams. And that's why I think that's a really solid win. Now, there are things, like I said, I've had enough of watching the special team shenanigans. Enough. It's like, Thursday is not joke time for Dave Tobe. Thursday's like how we're fixing it time for Dave Tobe at the mic.
Looking forward to a somber.
Yeah, and statements of change, because same old sucks. It ain't working. That aside, though, the fact that they could have so many self-inflicted wounds, be down on the emotion, and still come through and win comfortably is a statement of just how good this football team is right now.
Yeah.
That being said, though, at least for the quarterback, do you lose that edge when you have a baby this week? Do you take that adrenaline track, you know, your favorite tunes that pump you up, and is that just sucked right out of you? It's going to be impossible to go out there. I'm of the opinion that I think that would be more likely with the loss of a loved one than the addition of one. I'm kind of wondering and optimistic, and I think certainly possible, that you add a child to the equation, and yes, there might be some sleepless nights, but there's even more inspiration to go out and make it happen. There's now not two members of your immediate family. There's three that are cheering for you, theoretically, obviously.
Right.
There's a third member of your family you're representing. There is a third member of your family that is part of your legacy. I'm kind of the opinion I think it may inspire more than it may deflate.
And if there was some kind of deflation as far as prep when they get back on the field tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday, all it's going to take, I mean, he's going to be ready for the challenge on Sunday. And when he walks out on that field on Sunday, as soon as he steps out there, he's right back where he was a year ago. And I think that there's absolutely no negative impact of that once he sees that field and it becomes game time.
Absolutely.
The switch gets flipped, and he's just on.
Let's take a break. I want to get into Lance Leipold. The details of his contract extension have been released. We want to talk about that. We got a lot coming your way. As I said, Grunny, Frank, and Shahan Jeyaraja talking college football in the 5. We got a lot of things coming your way. Take your phone calls right now. Already got a couple of folks lining up. Grab it right now. 913-3810-810. You can hit me up on the Twitter. Another way to be a part of the conversation, at Soren Petro. That's SorenPetro, if you want to be a part of the conversation. Update on the U.S. match, 64th minute now, still USA 1, Iran 0. Just A little bit of downtime there with one of the Iranian players. It kind of got shaken up. Has come off the pitch. So they're down with 10 guys. He'll be back. He jogged off, but they got to let him back on the field. Right now, Iran has possession. 64th minute, USA leads 1-0. We'll keep you up to date if there are any changes. 913-3810-810. You're in the program. You're in the program here on Sport. There we go. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Great tune. Great tune. Best tune of all time, in my opinion. Curtis Siebold.
It's one of the great guitar solos ever put on tape.
It's pretty good. It got him into that new Kids Garage Band. You see that?
I love that commercial.
What a great one. You're in. Cool. It's awesome. Right now, the U.S. Free kick at kind of point-blank range and over the goal. So they had an opportunity, 69th minute. Still U.S. 1-0 over Iran. We'll keep an eye on that for you as we continue. Not really much of a threat on that, but it was in a good spot. But not a lot out of the set pieces today from the U.S. Corner kicks weren't really getting much. They turned one over, tried to get cute with a play, and Pulisic had one he barreled into, just buried right into the just an easy, easy one to dispatch up.
And there was one where he just turned around and kicked it into the seats for no reason. I thought that was a little too cute.
Did not happen.
That's true.
Did not happen. But as we've said, he's been balls out all match.
He has.
All match.
He has.
So, we'll see if they can finish it. 70th minute, 1-0 USA. Chiefs and Bengals coming up this week as we turn the page on a Rams game that was easy to turn the page on. It was an easy victory for the Kansas
City
Chiefs.
That page was turned about 6 minutes left to go in the game.
Our buddy Marty, we're going to go to him here in 1 second. He's going to lead us off today, 913-3-810-810. Anyone got a theory as to why? Are the Bengals just a bad matchup? Are they kryptonite for the Kansas City Chiefs in the sense that they do something that the Chiefs are just not prepared to defend? Got a theory?
No, because, I don't think there is a one thing, because even though they lost two very close games last year to them, I don't think they lost them in remotely the same way. The first game, it was just Jamar Chase was on one. When he was on one the entire season, and Joe Burrow was dropping dimes in there, and he was making great plays, beating some really good coverage. They just couldn't seem to stop their passing attack. That kind of went away in that second game for the most part. I mean, they had 10 points at the half, and the Bengals offense was not really making the big plays. You know, barring a collapse, we look at that as, well, the first game was one thing. The Chiefs figured it out, and they go to the Super Bowl. The reason they lost that second game, I think, were completely different reasons. It was a collapse on the offensive side. So I don't think we've seen anything happen more than once in the two games. Maybe we'll find out one of those two things will happen again this weekend, and we'll have a theme. But to me, to this point, we don't have a theme.
My theme is that this defense is significantly better. I mentioned yesterday that they are now 11th, tied for 11th. Which you can call 13th if you want, because I'm sure they rank it out to the decimal points. But in yards per play, right, which is, do the Titans score better defensively? I mean, I'm not looking at it right now, but I'm assuming yes. But they grind the run out, and they probably defend 10, 15 plays less per 5 to 15 right. plays less per game. And so if you look at, when you have to defend more plays, you're likely to give up more yards. The Chiefs go up and down the field on offense. Other teams have to chase bigger scores. I think relative to what they hang up there, that this defense is asked to defend more, right? Not more importantly, but just more often, because the other team is chasing a number oftentimes. It's a higher tempo game. The Chiefs keep the ball moving. There are more possessions in a Chiefs game oftentimes. So I'm optimistic that now that Trent McDuffie is back, and this won't be a game where the Bengals are probably going to go for 350 plus. This isn't going to be one where you really pad your stats. But I am optimistic that the Chiefs are significantly more suited to defend this team on that side of the ball because of Trent McDuffie. I think now, Charvarius Ward is ranking as a top 10 corner, and they had Ward and Snead last year, and they still had their way. I think they're more equipped because I think Reed, Cook, and Thornhill would be the same, but Reed and Cook are upgrades at safety as far as athleticism. Like, tackling was a problem. As we know, Jamar Chase's big run on his big day started with missed tackles.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing about missed tackles is not a want-to or a technique or a fundamental. It's athleticism. It's the ability to arrive at the point of attack in position to put a shoulder into somebody. You know, Dan Sorensen had want to, but when he got there, all he could get was a hand on somebody. You want to tackle somebody? Don't try to do it with just your hand. Get your shoulder there. Get your head in front of them. And I think Brian Cook can run, right? Like, you know, McDuffie can run. Nick Bolton can run a lot better than what we saw out of Anthony Hitchens last year. That's why they're tackling better. I also believe that the defensive line is getting better. And they're getting better performance. This is a better addition of Frank Clark. I know he didn't have a monster game against the Rams, but he's been better this year than last year. Chris Jones was very good last year. He's the best in the business this year. I think all those reasons give him a better shot. But I will say this. Offensively, they have to be better, because had they played the way they played defensively in the AFC Championship game, it was plenty if they get anything from the offense in the second half.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, feel free to put points on the board.
In the first half, it looked like they could almost name their score. 21-3, I'm like, my God, this is going to be a runaway.
That's what I thought that game was going to be, payback.
Yeah.
And for a half it was, and then it fell apart. And then we spent the entire first month of the offseason talking about what the hell happened at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And entertaining every possible theory that somebody had. 913-3-810-810. We go to the phones. Let's talk to Marty. Marty, you're in the program. What's up, buddy?
Hey, fellas. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving.
And likewise, same to you, my friend.
Real quick Royals Stadium question, then I'll go to the Chiefs question. Do you guys think there's any chance we'd keep the Kauffman name once we go downtown? It'd be nice to still honor Mr. K, but I'm assuming they're going to probably sell the naming rights.
I could see some kind of, you know, such-and-such field at Kauffman Stadium or Kauffman Field at such-and-such stadium. I can see some combination there. I don't know. I haven't had that conversation. Yeah. The Royals have gotten very quiet about the stadium. They made their announcement, and now nobody wants to really talk, and so we'll see when that comes around.
Hope they know, regardless of where it is, if we're still losing 97 games, walk-up tickets aren't going to be much. So, Chiefs, you talked about the stubbornness of the special teams yesterday, of the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's really bothered me, concerned me over this whole – I say call it 3-4 years, you know, Super Bowl, our offensive line had problems with Tampa. We had to go 5 wide. We had to keep doing that. That's what we do. AFC Championship game against the Bengals, we were running pretty good. Mahomes was struggling. Fourth quarter, 1st and 5, we start airing it out, and he gets sacked. Even last season, Spagnuolo had to play Anthony Hitchens over Bolton, which to me, that's a fireable offense. Who knows if one extra stop Bolton in that game causes a difference. I think our defense is better. I still don't trust Spags' scheme. I don't, Bolton was on Atwell on the Rams game on Sunday during a touchdown pass. Why is he in coverage? But anyway, just want to get your guys' thoughts on the stubbornness and arrogance of our coach staff at times. I just think that can cost us in the playoffs more. That's all.
Well, thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. I'm obviously afraid of that. That's why I kind of got upset yesterday. I mean, I feel like that they have kind of settled into a level of confidence that on special teams, they're just trying to prove people wrong and not doing what's best to win. And that's just your head up your rear end. Like, the goal is to win the game, right? So on Steve Spagnuolo, I don't see an ounce of arrogance. And how Steve Spagnuolo calls
not at
a game.
All.
Stubbornness in his. And we talked about having to burn the boats with the younger players. I think that stubbornness. I would say maybe not. I don't think arrogance is stubbornness.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's different. And I would buy into that. Yes, there's no reason Nick Bolton wasn't the starter over the second half of the season. No one will ever convince me otherwise. Just as no one will ever convince me that Patrick Mahomes shouldn't have been in the playoff game against the Tennessee Titans in the second half. I will never, if not starting the last two games of that regular season, no one will ever convince me of that fact, okay? That Alex Smith was the right call in that game. Erroneous. See Patrick Mahomes' career, right? Yes. So they are very, very good as a coaching staff. They are not without fault. And I think coaches are the mindset, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about this with Grunny coming up here in our next hour. Coaches have their systems and their schemes and their routines, and there's so much they want to do with, like, you know, Mark Mangino. You know, you can go a day without shaving. He'd say about recruiting, you can go a day without shaving and only your wife knows. You go 2 days, everybody knows. You know, every cliche in the book is at the disposal of Eli Drinkwitz. But they're all founded in the art of the routine, the art of time management, the art of doing a lot of different little things that add up to winning. And they're very good at that. I mean, there's a reason why Joe Gibbs went seamlessly and flawlessly from being a Hall of Fame football coach to being a Hall of Fame race car team owner. There are elements of what makes that man. He would be a Hall of Fame executive in probably any business. He would learn the business quickly. He understands what talent looks like. He hires them. He lets them do their job, and he handles the problems. And so there are a lot of things that we can all, you know, take away from having successful football coaches come and talk to your club is a good idea because they got a lot of stuff. But there's also the great ones, and I think you can call Andy Reid a great football coach. The great ones know when to go beyond their process, when to evolve beyond, when things have changed. And so you therefore have to change what you do. And I am quite open to the idea that this is what we do, this is how we do it, it's what we've always done. And while Andy Reid is ready to be as big of an innovator on the offensive play calling part of the equation, that maybe there's some elements of, like, do you really need to fire Isaiah Pacheco into Bobby Wagner 5 times in a row at the end of the game? Like, what was that about? Right. Now, if he wants to, if you could get him in an honest conversation, he's like, I'll tell you what it was about. We have to be able to move somebody off the line of scrimmage. And that was more about my offensive line learning to, you know, I got a salty defensive front, and I wanted them to push themselves to be able to knock one in the end zone. Okay, that sounds like a good plan. Did it work? You didn't score a touchdown, so no, that didn't work. Did the mentality change? Are they tougher? Are they working harder in the weight room? Is there a new idea? I don't know. If the answer is no, then it didn't work. Right. And meanwhile, you blasted Isaiah Pacheco, who's been, I think, a shot of adrenaline in this offense. You hammered him. I mean, I remember talking to Todd Haley when I was like, well, you know, like blitz pickup drills for the running backs. He goes, oh, that's the good stuff. I go, maybe if you're a masochist, but watching a 205-pound guy get freight trained by a 255-pound guy running full speed, and the 205-pound guy has to stand in there and just take the collision, it's a necessity for pass blocking. But watching guys do it over and over again in practice, I mean, I do think you have to practice what you want to do to play, but it's not an attractive thing to watch.
No.
Now, you may love the combat arts, but watching a guy down who you could tell is pretty much out get ground and pound and pummeled, if that's your thing, okay, whatever. It's not mine. It's uncomfortable to watch, right? And I was a little uncomfortable watching Isaiah Pacheco continue to get hammered. Oh, I know he's young and he's all that. Okay, but what were you winning up 13 by hammering away with him? Right, I want him hammering away at the Buffalo Bills in the divisional round of the playoffs, hammering away at the Baltimore Ravens or Miami Dolphins in the conference championship game, hammering away at the Eagles or 49ers in the Super Bowl. Ronald Jones hasn't touched the ball all year. He got a handful of touches finally yesterday. He was active. Why is there not an opportunity to spread the pain around a little bit? You know, those things, like, it's not a big deal. And Andy Reid has pretty much had the mindset, I'll run the running back until he's hurt, and then the next guy goes in there. And it served him pretty well. Pretty well.
Yeah.
And none of these running backs do they have literally anything invested in.
No.
I mean, look at where you are running back-wise now. Your 4 running backs, when you go down to Melvin Gordon, or a guy who was released that you grabbed off waivers, or even went through waivers and then signed, I'm sure, for the league minimum. Ronald Jones, who's at basically the veteran minimum. McKinnon, who's at basically the veteran minimum. And a 7th-round pick who cost nothing. He's at about as least as you can possibly make as an NFL player. So I get it, but I'd kind of like to see Pacheco healthy in the playoffs. And so how about this? Why was Chris Jones in the game, rushing the passer at the very end? Like, How about get him out? How about make sure he doesn't go down? Because to me, he's the most important factor on that defensive line. How about we sit him down late and let's get Josh, you know, I don't even, Kando was probably inactive. Was he?
He was inactive.
Get whoever out there.
Somebody else.
Was Herring, the Georgia guy, active?
I think
they had eight that I know were. I don't know if the ninth one was. Okay. You know, Lucas Niang into the game. He's now there. The Kentucky guy into the game. You know, get the big boys out of there when the game, because I don't think you're going to get that shot against the Bengals. You probably won't get it against the Seahawks. You'll probably get chances against the Broncos a couple of times. But, you know, I do think there is, yes, stubbornness, Marty. I would agree. 913-3-810-810. Ryan, you'll lead us off next segment. USA had a chance, saved, just in front of the goal line. We're now in the 84th minute. The U.S. still leads 1-0 in this match, so they've got to fend off probably about 20 more minutes to get there. But right now they're up 1-0 in the 84th minute. We'll take a break. You're in the program. Program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Taking your phone calls at 913-3-810-810. Let's talk to Ryan. You're in the program, Ryan. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
I got a question. It might be a little off topic than what you guys are talking about. So Chris Jones, he's having a career year. Might be his best year, depending on how well he performs during the year later on. Do we use that for trade value, or are we going to assign him to an extension? And I'll listen up there.
Okay, I appreciate it, Ryan. That's a great question, because, you know, Chris Jones will enter the same offseason basically that Tyreek Hill did last year. Yeah. And I think it's likely that Chris Jones would be like, I want a new deal, or I ain't coming to camp. And so I think if you're the Chiefs, you play both sides. You work towards an extension, because I think he's still playing at a really high level. And I think you see what you can get done. What are his demands? Are you in the same ballpark? And at the same time, you field offers. What will you give me for Chris Jones? Now, I think he's, like I said, the most important guy for this defense, but there's nobody that comes even close to Patrick Mahomes' value. As long as you have Mahomes, you turn and burn. And just as no one thought you could live without Tyreek Hill, and this team would be better with Tyreek Hill than it is without him, right? Just with or without, but the resources you gain, quantity of draft picks, cap room, can you build a better team? Yes, and I think the Chiefs did. The Chiefs are a better football team this year than they were last year. And part of that calculus is the trade of Tyreek Hill. So I think it's a great question, and I think you play both sides.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get him signed for a deal that works for the team, you get him signed. If he's asking for too much, you look for the trade value. If you can get him signed and you get the world for him, I don't know what that deal is. Two firsts and 2 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Then I think you look at trading him.
And he's one of those firsts to find his replacement. Because the distinction between between Hill and Jones, one, relating to Patrick Mahomes, it's a lot easier for Patrick Mahomes to offset the loss of a guy on the field the same time he is than it is for Jones. And two, we've looked at the history of where you get talent at wide receiver, and it's much more difficult to get talent as a pass rusher later rounds than it is the wide receiver talent. But if you, that's why the value would be higher. You're going to get more for Chris Jones than they did for Tyreek Hill because of all that.
Yeah, I think you have to be ready for, you know, any possible scenario. And so I think it depends upon what is the market. There are sometimes that teams are desperate, and you got a team that thinks they're one defensive lineman away, and they will grossly overpay for it. Jump on in. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles are picking fourth in this next year's draft. Right? Because was it the Commanders who traded with them? They've got the Saints.
Saints.
They've got the Saints first round pick, and I don't even remember what it was. Right? But I'm sure that the Commander or the Eagles were better with the player they traded away or taking a higher pick, but they made the big picture move. And I love the idea of getting future picks, because at worst they're going to be about where you're thinking they're going to be. At best, they end up being top five because everything went wrong. And so if you can have a good idea of what every team's got going on and project where they're going to be, then future picks I think are just a great way to build your football team if you can do it. So we'll see where they go from there. 913-810-810 update on the U.S. match. 92nd minute, second minute of nine in stoppage time.
That's got to be heads up there for the most I've ever seen.
There were a couple of players that were down. They are in the U.S. half, and they're going to get a free kick for Iran, it looks like. So going to sweat it out for seven-plus minutes here before the U.S. will know, before the U.S. will advance, a win, and they will advance. And there will be no stoppage time if you're new to it. So this is it. If they would give up a goal late, it would be a draw, and Iran would advance, and the U.S. would come back to the States.
For the record, the trade last year at draft time, Philly gave up two firsts, number 16 and 19, and a sixth to New Orleans for a first, third, and seventh last year, a first this year, and a fourth and a second next year. And the first this year, they didn't think it would be number four overall, but they gave up 16 and 19 in that trade. But
very dangerous free kick.
Oh wow. That was close.
The U.S. Just managed to knock it aside. It'll now be a corner kick for the Iranians. Again, in the 93rd minute, nine extra minutes that we will survive. We will see if the U.S. can survive. Kyle, you're in the program. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. First time, long time. Got a question about the Bills. You know, you guys think that this is, you know, how they've kind of struggled over the stretch the last couple of games, if this is something that you know, they're just kind of shooting themselves in the foot? Or do you guys think that the rest of the NFL is kind of giving the Chiefs a blueprint as to kind of hold them down and how to beat them? And I'll hang up in this.
I think the Buffalo Bills are the most dangerous team outside the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody wants to face Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and a good collection of talent around them, which Brett Veach has been able to do. I think after that, you don't want to face the Bills, because I think Josh Allen is a guy who can play at a Patrick Mahomes level but can't play it there consistently like Patrick Mahomes does. And I think you're seeing what I think a lot of it is, because people are like, well, the Bills have this injury and that. So do the Chiefs. Nick Allegretti was in for Joe Tooney, the most expensive guard in football last year. We know all the injuries that they've gone through throughout the course of the years. Injuries are a part of the game. Lucas Niang was supposed to be the right tackle for this team. They haven't had him all year. Now he's coming back from a patella tendon. Maybe he'll take that over and this line will get better. But I think the Buffalo Bills, healthy, have a better 2-53, and they probably have the best quarterback not named Patrick Mahomes in the NFL today. He can't play at as high a, he can't play at quite as high a level, and he can't do it as consistently, and his inability to play it as consistently has been what's brought them down and given the Chiefs the chance at that one seed.
All right, with a minimum of 10 games, how many coaches have a better winning percentage on Monday night than Mike Tomlin? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.